I am delighted to say that I have something, or somebody, should I say, on the line who is going to advise every one of us, because we need advice and it is important that we all take and pay attention to what Áine Carroll from the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission is going to tell us. Because, Áine, like the little boy with his finger in the dam, we can't hold back the water. Cyber Monday and Black Friday are coming. People will buy, and they will, some of the purchases will be perfect, but more of them, not so. What are their rights when something isn't as they expected?
Morning. I think, you know, you're right in terms of sort of, I don't know about you, but my email box over the last few days has just been filled up with all these emails from different companies about all of their deals and everything that's coming up with Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And it's just, it's huge. And, you know, people are bombarded with stuff. I think, I know, kind of generally, so in the CCPC, we have a consumer helpline. And what we've seen is like there has been an increase in terms of contacts that we get from consumers when they have problems after buying something online. And about 20% of all of the calls that we receive are about online purchases. So every year we kind of run a campaign around this time of year to inform consumers what their rights are if something goes wrong. But not only, I suppose, if something goes wrong, more kind of generally, like what are your rights when you buy from companies based in the EU versus a company that's not based in the EU? So, you know, there's really good protections there. And it's great for consumers to know kind of what those protections are. And I think the most probably important one is that if you buy from a website that's based in any EU state, you have 14 days after you receive the item to change your mind and return it for any reason. And you have another 14 days to return it. So basically 28 days from the day when the thing is delivered to decide whether you actually want to keep it or not.
And do you think that, number one, do you think that people are aware of those rights? And number two, I suppose, far more importantly, I know they should be, but are the companies aware of it?
Yeah. So we do market research fairly regularly. And one of the things we did recently was that we looked at small to medium enterprises, SMEs in Ireland, to see, well, what was their awareness in terms of the specific parts of this piece of legislation, which is called the Consumer Rights Directive, but basically it covers all of this kind of distance selling, so when you buy online within the EU. And what we saw was like with a really high level of awareness. So, you know, I think 87% of companies were giving people at least 14 days in which they could change their minds. Where it got a little bit more, I suppose, murky was around how long companies gave consumers to return things. So it's just, it's quite confusing because you have 14 days to change your mind from the point of delivery. And then you have another 14 days from that date of delivery to send it back to the company, whereas some companies were calculating the 14 days from when they sent it. So, you know, and we have run a campaign and we have information on our website to inform businesses of what it is that they need to do. But in terms of consumers and awareness, well, I think generally as consumers, we only really, I suppose, kind of seek to find out what our rights are when we have a problem. And that makes sense, you know. So we're not going around all the time trying to find out what our rights are in particular, you know, in relation to specific things. But I think with something like buying online, and that's kind of been the main focus of our campaign, is that you do have 14 days to change your mind when you buy something online from a seller that's based in the EU. And you don't necessarily have that right when you buy in a shop, because the ability to return something, a lot of people think that that's outlined in the law, and it's not. It's basically a store policy. So unless an item is faulty, there's no legal requirement for a shop to take back. But when you buy online, you do have this sort of 14 days to change your mind. And that has been, as I said, the kind of the focus of our campaign is to let people know that they do have that right.
And Áine, what about people buying from outside the EU?
Yeah. So I suppose the first thing to say around that is, well, under the Consumer Rights Directive, so if you are in the EU, you have to, certain information that you have to provide on your website. And one of those things is your physical address, so the actual address of your company. And that's what consumers need to look at, is where is the company located? Because sometimes you'll see that, you know, somebody might have a web address, which is .ie or .co.uk. doesn't actually mean that it's in a US-based website, because it might be a company that's based in China or in the United States or in Australia, but they just have a website set up. So check the geographic location of the company. So in those circumstances, if an item is faulty, well, and I might deal with that in a second, there's a certain kind of path that you need to follow. But in relation to changing your mind, what you're going to be relying on there is the website's terms and conditions. So it's really important when you buy something from a website that's outside the EU that you check to see, because you don't have an opportunity when you buy online to pick something up or see whether you actually like it. So you really need to know before you press the pay button what is going to happen if the thing arrives and you don't like it, because you don't want to be stuck with something just because of the fact that you bought it from a website that's based outside the EU. So really important to check that.
I can see thousands of people throwing their eyes to heaven at the moment going, oh God, this is going to affect me if Brexit happens, because I have an Amazon.UK account.
Yeah, potentially. And that is something that we're keeping a really close eye on to see, well, what's going to happen in relation to these protections that exist. Because if, for instance, the UK decides that it's not going to maintain these kind of rights in relation to CRD, then it's going to become really, really important for a lot of Irish consumers, because obviously huge amounts of the things that we buy online come from the UK and from businesses that are in the UK. But in relation to faulty items, you have the same rights when you buy something online as you do in a shop. You know, it should be, you know, fit for the intended purpose, it should be of good quality, it should be as described, and all of those things. And if you buy something online from a website, whether it's in the EU or not in the EU, again, you're basically in a situation where you're going back to the seller to say, you sold me this item online, it's faulty, and this is what I want you to do about it. And the other thing as well is, when you have a faulty item that you bought online, there's obviously going to be a cost for you to send it back. So you should be looking for a refund from the company for the delivery costs that you paid in the first place, but also for the cost of sending the item back to them as well. And if you're having difficulties in terms of getting a refund from the company itself, I suppose the other thing to say is always do everything in writing. Never do anything by phone, because you want to have proof of all of the interactions that you had with the company. And if you're having problems getting a refund, then you should contact your credit card company or your bank and tell them that you're requesting a chargeback, where they can reverse the transaction and outline to them all the reasons why that you bought something online that's faulty, the company's not refunding you, and try to get your money back through that channel.
And we will be giving all your contact details. Well, of course, obviously, I know not your personal contact details, but the Consumer and Competition Protection Commission, we will be giving details at the end of our little chat. Again, like the little boy with his finger in the dam, we can't hold back the dreaded C word. That's coming hurtling towards us. A lot of people will get gifts of vouchers. Now, there was a lot of sort of ambiguity, I think is the word I'll use, on it, surrounding those in recent years where you had certain rights, then you didn't have them, you had to use them within a certain period of time, some of them you could keep them forever, and that there has been changes when it came to gift vouchers, as far as I know, hasn't there, Anya?
There were changes announced that the government was going to look at legislation for this area, and that's still in progress. So the situation hasn't changed in that, I suppose. What the voucher says, so it's the terms and the conditions of the voucher that you need to look at in terms of how quickly you need to use your voucher. What we have seen is that a lot of shops have extended the time period that you can use a voucher for. So you will see a lot of vouchers out there where you might have 2 years or even longer. Our view in the CCPC is that 5 years would be an ideal term for both the business and for the consumer. So I suppose from the business's perspective, you don't want vouchers out there forever and ever. You know, you need to have some kind of certainty on when you know, the vouchers will be coming back into you, particularly, I think, if you're a small business. But so at the moment, it's, I suppose, as it was, if you receive a voucher for Christmas, first thing to do is check to see how long the term is and make sure you use it, because we've all had that experience. of digging around in a drawer somewhere at home and finding a gift voucher that we didn't use and that's expired. And it's an awful waste of somebody's money, you know, if they've got a new voucher and that's the outcome and you don't get to get any value from it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about it is if that person gave you €50 and a €50 note, you wouldn't throw that away. So yeah. I suppose, and that's exactly what you are dealing with when it comes to vouchers, because they are the equivalent of cold hard cash. When it comes to that, Anya, and this is something as well, and I would be very grateful for your input into it. You give somebody or you receive a gift voucher for, let's just say, an electrical shop for the purposes of the exercise, for 50 or 60 quid, and 2 months later, while it's still in date, you trot along to said shop to discover that it has closed up business and gone. Have you any comeback? Have you any rights in that situation?
I think in practical terms, no. Because when, I suppose, you have a situation like that where a shop has gone out of business, what you can do as a if you have somebody who has a gift voucher, is you can contact, you know, the administrator, whoever is kind of looking after the financial affairs of the company as it's winding down, and you can register your interest, is the kind of terminology that's used to say you have a voucher, it's 50 or 60 euro. But what typically happens when a company goes out of business is, so you have, there's an assessment done in terms of the finances of the company. You know, obviously you'll have liquidation sales, you know, they'll try to get as much money in as they can. But there is a kind of a hierarchy in terms of who gets their money first. And what you generally see is revenue are at the top of that list. The banks, if banks are owed money, staff of the business, they would all kind of come before people who have gift vouchers. So although you can register your interest, it is very unlikely that you'll ever get any money back because of that kind of hierarchy that applies to, well, who should get some money back in those situations. So it is another, it's another, I suppose, example of something that can go wrong with a gift voucher.
Yeah, and of course, as well as that, Anya, to reinforce a point you made earlier, it's another very good reason why you shouldn't leave them lying around. Use them ASAP.
Yeah. Anya, and obviously, as well, people have the other option as well of buying a voucher that can be used in more than one outlet. You know, so there are kind of gift cards where you can kind of use them in different places. Some of those cards, I suppose, just to mention as well, will have fees attached to them. So if you're giving somebody a gift card, make sure you give them the like booklet that comes with it, which explains all of that in terms of whether there would be any fees that would be deducted from the balance if they don't use it within a certain amount of time.
Anya, can I just put it to you before I let you go on? Thanks a million for joining me this morning, because I am aware that you stepped out of a meeting to do this. Has there been a carrot or stick or carrot and stick approach to this over the last couple of years? Because from chatting to you this morning, it would appear that there is a slight shift in the balance of power towards the consumer, where that wasn't necessarily the case. Have companies bought into this and come on board to be more customer friendly, or is it that, well, the sanctions, if they aren't, have increased?
I suppose a couple of things. The Consumer Rights Directive, which is all around the kind of buying online area, that was a really important piece of legislation. So that was a European directive which came into force like right throughout the EU. And it gave a really, really good clarity for consumers in relation to their rights when they buy online within the EU. And that didn't exist before. So you were in that situation, well, depending on whether you bought from Company A or Company B, Company A might let you return it within 7 days, Company B might let you return it within 28 days. Do you know what I mean? It was very unclear. So that Consumer Rights Directive was a really important piece of legislation in terms of giving a very high level of consumer protection, which is the minimum that companies need to do. Obviously, some companies go above that. I think in relation to the whole, you know, ability as well to return things to shops, as I said at one point, you know, you don't have a legal right to return something. So say, for instance, I don't know, if you buy your teenage niece or nephew, they're impossible to buy for, you buy them a present and you give them a gift receipt. A lot of shops will give them a refund if they have a gift receipt. And that's, again, that's not a legal right. That's just good customer service from the shops. And you'll see that, I suppose, particularly with some of the bigger kind of chain stores and things like that. Or they'll, you know, they'll exchange it for something of the same value. So they are, those are, I think, are very, very positive things from a consumer perspective. And particularly at this time of year where I suppose people kind of feel maybe a little bit under pressure, you know, everyone's rushing around. And if something kind of goes wrong with something that you've bought, it's really good to know that it's going to get sorted out quickly.
And Anya, just one or two more points, and this would be really from a listener's point of view as well, I suppose. Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas sales, Stevens' Day, New Year's sales. Are there any specific terms and conditions that people need to be very aware of when it comes to those, or is it the same as walking in off the street and buying something which is substandard? Your rights are not infringed by virtue of the fact that it's a sale, or is it caveat emptor, buyer beware, and read the small print?
No, it's not, and I think that's a really good point. So if you buy something that's on sale, so it's discounted, right, either on Black Friday, Cyber Monday, or after Christmas, in the, you know, post-Christmas sales. So if you buy online from a company that's in the EU, your rights are exactly the same. So, and this is something actually we do get quite a lot of calls about to our helpline, where somebody buys something, it's discounted, they get it, they decide they don't like it, and then they contact the company to say they're returning it, and they're told, oh no, we don't accept returns on sale items. And it's like, no, you can't do that, because if you're in the EU, you give your customers in the EU 14 days to change their mind, and that doesn't change if the item is on sale. So that's the online area. In relation to shops, what you will see is that a lot of shops will change their returns policy, right, if something is on sale. So if there's something wrong with it, it doesn't matter that it was on sale in the first place. If it's faulty, it's faulty. You still have a right to go back and look for a replacement, a refund, or a repair. And it doesn't, that does not change just because something was on sale. Where you might see something slightly different is the returns policy, which again isn't in the law, but it is the shop policy. So you might have a shop that normally might give you 28 days to return something for a full refund. They might shorten that time to 7 days during the sale, or they might change the policy altogether and say, we normally accept returns, but we can't accept returns on an item that's on sale, or you will accept a return, but you can't get your money back. We'll only give you an exchange. So a lot of shops will change their policies. So it's really important, again, if you're buying something that's on sale, ask what the policy is. But again, a lot of shops are really good. They'll actually tell you in advance. They'll say, this is on sale. So if you want to return it, you have to return it within 7 days or whatever. So I suppose the short version of that is, if you're buying online from an EU-based website, it doesn't matter that it's on sale. If you're buying in a shop, make sure you ask what the returns policy is.
Anya, there's an awful lot there for people to take on board. And if anybody has any questions, they can contact us here on 867 1190. You can text us on 087 69 44 500. You can email us at reception@near.ie. And we will forward on your questions to the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission. But if you want to, you can contact them direct on what, Anya?
So you can ring us on 01 402 5555, and you can also go onto our website, which is ccpc.ie, or you can contact us. We have we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, so you can contact us through any of those as well. CCPC.
Anya Carroll from the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission. Anya, thanks a million for joining us this morning on Northside Today, and thank you for being so, so informative. I think a lot of people actually, Anya, will be kind of relieved with the news that you had for them this morning, but the details are there. If you have any issues, you can contact them. This interview, as all our interviews, will be podcast on the Near FM website. So if you missed any of the details, you can get them on the podcast. Anya, thanks a million for joining us this morning.
No problem. Thank you very much, Tony.
Bye-bye.